Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 and verse 22. The Bible says this: "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, that you might comfort our hearts." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we'd like to come before you again. As we open up your word, we do recognize, God, that it is your word and that we do depend upon you to have understanding of what we're going to be looking at today, because it's your spirit that teaches us all things. And so with that, Father, we would ask you to use the word of God to teach us, to reprove us if we need it, to correct us, and always, Lord, to instruct us in righteousness, that we might walk close to you and walk uprightly. And God, we put our time in your hands and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying the book of Ephesians now for, I think, about a year and a half. And we've got this message and, I believe, just one more to go to finish up our expository study of the book of Ephesians. And we've been, of course, working through this last half of the epistle, 4, 5, and 6. You know, kind of does a practical application of the doctrine that you see in the first half. And as Paul finishes this epistle, he mentions a man named Tychicus, okay? And Paul's sending a letter with Tychicus. He's sending the letter, of course, with him to as a messenger, kind of take the letter here and then tell him I'm doing okay, comfort them with everything that's been going on. Just, hey, tell him I'm all right and we're good. So Tychicus is a messenger. Tychicus is helping Paul out in this little duty. Paul, of course, in prison. Says, hey, take this letter to our Ephesian brethren. Let them know I'm doing okay. Comfort their hearts. And so we see this young man, maybe he was a young man, this man Tychicus, as a messenger. However, I think if we delve into Scripture just a little bit and use our Bible study skills to compare Scripture with Scripture, I think we can see that this man Tychicus is just a little bit more than a messenger. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about Tychicus, okay? And it's one of those names in the Bible, you know, you say it a couple of times and it's fun to say. Did you ever watch that VeggieTale video, you know, where Larry, the cucumber, he likes to say bamboo. He says, wow, that's a fun word to say, bamboo, right? And Tychicus is one of those words. So we're going to be saying Tychicus a lot this morning, and hopefully that'll be one of those things that kind of sticks in your mind. And this is kind of one of those things that, you know, you remember. You're walking around just during your week and you think, Tychicus. And hopefully you'll remember the message this morning. Just to grab it in context, now remember what we've been studying. What have we been studying for the last couple of months in Ephesians chapter 6? Well, we've been studying spiritual warfare, right? Now, we started off in a general sense talking about children and parents and the slaves and the masters. But yet, when we got to verse 10 and finished last week in verse 20, we got right down to the specifics about our warfare against the enemy, what armor God has given us, our mission to speak the gospel boldly, to advance the cause of Christ in the face of the opposition that we have in this present world. And then right after all of that about this spiritual warfare, Paul mentions Tychicus, this messenger, okay? The messenger delivering the letter. And he calls Tychicus a beloved brother, okay? He's not just a brother, right? We know we have a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And Paul calls this guy a beloved brother. That ought to catch our attention right away. And then he also calls him a minister in the Lord, but not only a minister in the Lord, what's the adjective he used? Faithful. Faithful. And so Tychicus is just, he is an outstanding example of a Christian soldier. You remember that song, Onward Christian Soldiers? It comes from this picture that God gives us in Ephesians 6 of being soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Being in God's, if you want to call it, army or whatever, to advance the cause of Christ. And it reminds me of an article I read recently. It was last month, and somebody made the comment that so often people will compare the church to a hospital where wounded souls can come and be healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And while, yes, that's part of the Christian walk, you'll never find that metaphor, that picture of the church in the Bible. The church is never compared to a hospital. But over and over and over and over again, you see this comparison of the church and Christians to militia, to the military, to soldiers, and even secondarily to athletes. Okay, there's this element of discipline and forward moving and competition or warfare. And Tychicus then, right after all of this that Paul says about spiritual warfare, Paul just throws this guy out and says, hey, Tychicus is bringing you the letter, but now wait a minute. We know that every word of God is pure. Every word of God is important. We have the certainty of the very words of God and the words of truth in Scripture. These two verses are just as important as any other verse in the Bible. And so I think it's worth our time to see if there's anything else we might be able to glean from what the Bible says about a man in the ministry named Tychicus, okay? And the first thing I would like to talk about, I only have 2 points for my message this morning, and that's when the congregation says, praise the Lord, just 2. We'll probably get out of here at a good time then. Tychicus, I want to talk about Tychicus and his background. Who is this guy? Where did he come from? He shows up in Scripture. What can we learn about Tychicus? Turn back to Acts chapter 19. Let's just do a small little background study on this guy. Let's just see what we can learn about Tychicus, the guy, this messenger that Paul sends with the Ephesian letter. What does the Bible say about him? Where does he come from? Who is he? Okay, and he first shows up in the Bible, first mention. He first shows up as a member of Paul's third missionary journey, this team Paul puts together. Now in Acts chapter 19, verse 1, we see that Paul shows up, third missionary journey, goes to Ephesus. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he enters in with a certain conversation with them. Jump down to verse 8. And it says, while he's still there at Ephesus, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And then it says in verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, which is Asia Minor, north of the Mediterranean Sea, what we call today Turkey, it's modern-day Turkey, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And so Paul gets to Ephesus. He spends about 2 years there preaching the gospel, starting a church, establishing that church, working with the disciples, and continuing to spread the gospel message. Chapter 20, verse 1 says that, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him to the disciples, embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. Now, after 2 years, you guys know the story. A riot ensues because of Paul's preaching. There's not enough pagans for the silversmiths to make an actual good living selling their idols of Diana. And they have that great uproar in the city, the riot, and they start screaming, great is Diana of the Ephesians, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And that's that marks Paul's exodus from Ephesus. And he leaves Ephesus, chapter 20, verse 2, when he had gone over those parts of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia, if you look at a map, you can probably jump back to your maps if you want to follow this along. It's north and west of Ephesus, and it actually crosses into the continent of Europe, Macedonia. And it says, when he had gone over those parts in Macedonia and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, which is just south of Macedonia, still on the continent there of Europe. In verse 3, there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, so retraces his steps back up to the north, and there accompanied him into Asia, now returning back into Asia Minor, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, who? Tychicus and Trophimus. So here we find the first mention of Tychicus, okay? Paul spends those 3 months preaching the gospel in Greece, heads back up into Macedonia, and we see in verse 4 that there's where Tychicus shows up for the first time in Scripture, and he joins Paul's missionary team, okay? So what does he do? Well, he's part of Paul's team. Now, in this chapter, we see verse 5, these going before tarried for us at Troas, And when we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas, so now they're again together in 5 days. We abode 7 days. And if you move then over to verse 13, Paul says, and we went before from Troas, he says, before to ship and sailed unto Assos. And there intending to take in Paul's, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met up with us at Assos, we took him and came into Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trigilium. And the next day we came into Miletus, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus. He did not want to go there because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So while he's at Miletus, verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church and gives his famous and very important discourse to the Ephesian elders there, verse 20 down to about verse 32 or 38, okay? And so Tychicus is with Paul in his missionary group in Miletus when Paul gathers together the elders, the pastors of the Ephesian church. So we know at least from this that Tychicus is known by at least the leaders, and he knows the leaders. So we know that there is some sort of relationship between Tychicus and the Ephesian leaders. Now, these Ephesian leaders were concerned about Paul and his safety. Paul's going back to Jerusalem during the Feast of Pentecost, all right? It is well known that the Jews hate Paul. So obviously, with thousands of Jews from the dispersion merging on Jerusalem for this massive Feast of Pentecost, they know that Paul's heading right into the wolf's den. And so that's why you see in verse 36, Acts chapter 20, verse 36, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, Paul, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, the leaders and his missionary team. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So they are concerned about him. Now, you guys know the story in Acts, right? Paul goes back to Jerusalem. He starts preaching on the streets. He gets the tar beaten out of him. And he's thrown into prison. And then he gets bounced around from one prison to the next. He has to appeal to Caesar, basically for no other reason than to save his own neck. And he's put on a boat and shipped off to Rome. He has a shipwreck, and the ship is destroyed. And they finally get up to Rome, and he's in prison. That's how the book of Acts ends. You guys remember that, right? Well, that's where Ephesians chapter 6 comes in. He has not had contact with these Ephesians yet, and so he knows they're concerned about him. He's been through riots. He's been through imprisonment. He's been through shipwreck. He's been stranded on an island, and now he's in prison in Rome, and he says, hey, Tychicus, take this letter. And then he says in verse 22 that he might comfort your hearts. Tell him I'm doing okay. Paul was just fine. So he sends this man, Tychicus, as a messenger. He sends him to the leaders that Tychicus knew. He says, deliver this letter to them. But hey, tell them also that I'm doing fine. Comfort their hearts. So that's where Tychicus first shows up. Now, Tychicus, when he's sent with not only the letter to the Ephesians, he's sent with a letter to the Colossians also. Okay? Now, what I'm doing here, and if you say, well, this is exciting. Now, wait a minute. What I am doing here is I am trying to build the background of this man so that you'll understand something very important about him at the end of the message. Okay? Pay very close attention to the experience that this man had. Pay very close attention to how he has developed as a missionary team member with the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul entrusted him with a letter to the Ephesians. Jump over with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians chapter 4. We see Tychicus again. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Now, this is also the last chapter. Paul's wrapping up his letter to the Colossians. And in Colossians 4, 7, he says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. So Tychicus is also going to tell the Colossian believers, hey, here's how Paul's doing. He's doing all right. All right, he's in prison, yeah, but he's doing okay. It says, Tychicus, he'll declare it unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With, who's he traveling with, folks? Traveling companion. Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you? He's from the city of Colossae. Who is one of you? They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So Paul sends the letter to the Ephesians by the hand of Tychicus. He also sends the letter to the Colossians by the hand of Tychicus. Now, Tychicus has a traveling companion, Onesimus. Do you recognize that name? Well, you should, because he's mentioned in another important epistle, right? Jump over to Philemon. You're in Colossians. A couple, two, three, four, five books over. You'll go past Timothy, Titus, and find this one chapter book, Philemon. Onesimus is traveling with Tychicus. Onesimus was Philemon's runaway slave that Paul sent back after he led him to Christ. Look at verse 10. Philemon, verse 10. Now, Paul is writing Philemon. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He met him in prison, led him to the Lord, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, my own heart. This is something I am asking of you out of mine own bowels, my own heart. So Onesimus was a runaway slave. So for some reason, he ends up in prison there in Rome, meets Paul. Paul preaches the gospel to him, and the guy repents, places his faith and trust in Christ, and Paul begins that process of discipleship with him. Well, apparently, now look at verse 1, the introduction to this book of Philemon, this letter to Philemon. Paul says this, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, so we know he's writing this from prison, Timothy, our brother, and Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Paul and Timothy were writing unto Philemon and to the church in thy house. Now, isn't that interesting? What do you have here? Well, apparently the church at Colossae, or at least some part of it, was meeting in Philemon's house. Now, whether Philemon was just opening up the doors and saying, y'all come in, or whether he was one of the elders and leaders of the church, we don't know. I like to think he was one of the leaders of the church because he's a good example of a leader for us. Well, Tychicus then has Onesimus as a traveling companion. Onesimus is a runaway slave to Philemon. Philemon is a leader probably in the church in Colossae, and they meet in his house. So Paul sends Tychicus with Onesimus, the letter to the Colossians, the letter to the Ephesians. They go to Colossae first. He drops off Onesimus, the Colossians letter, and then he continues on his route to Ephesus, where he drops off that letter and gives a report of what Paul's doing. So, that helps us to understand when it was that Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians and how this all fits together with this guy named Tychicus. Now, obviously, you know, we've seen this before. Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote Ephesians. It's also mentioned in Colossians. We just saw it mentioned in Philemon. This is the same time he sends Tychicus with Onesimus, the epistle to the Colossians and the epistle to the Ephesians. Now, jump back to Colossians. I want to show you just one thing. Colossians, we're going to go back to Philemon. I just want to compare a couple of passages here. In Colossians chapter 4, you know, we started in verse 7 where he said, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. He's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. He's a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate, comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Okay, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And then he says, Aristarchus, now pay attention to the names here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive communication or commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So he mentions a couple of names here. He says, I'm in prison, sending these guys here. Everybody says hello. Jump back over to Philemon. You see some of the same people mentioned in Philemon. Okay? Just drawing a parallel here, Philemon 22 says, Paul's putting his signature on the letter, he's finishing up, Philemon 22, but withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, just like we saw in Colossians, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. Amen. So we see the same people mentioned. Paul is in prison. He writes Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Okay? He probably wrote Philippians also, but that's kind of out of the scope of what we want to look at this morning, so we'll leave that off. If you notice something very important, verse 22. Philemon 22. What is Paul's clear expectation? To be released. He says, make a room up for me. Okay, get one of them baskets and put some Snicker bars in there and, you know, some shaving cream and just be real nice and hospitable because I'm coming. Right? So he says, but with all prepare me also lodging. I'm coming. I'm getting out of here. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Now that's exactly what we see consistent in Paul's imprisonment that we see in the final chapters of Acts. He says, hey, I'm getting out. I'm going to get out real quick, and I'm going to come see you guys, okay? Consistently. You see that also in Philippians chapter 1. Well, I'd like to show you something that's a little different, just two books over to the left. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What was his expectation in 2 Timothy? He was expecting to get out of prison, yeah, but how? Chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. You see, Paul writes 2 Timothy from prison also. But this time, Paul says, I'm not getting out. And if you've read that book, you know that Paul says, Timothy, please come to me quickly. Paul knows he's going to die. See, there's two imprisonments. Paul was put into prison twice. At the end of the book of Acts, we find him put into prison, his full expectation, because it was just kind of it was one of those legal flukes. He had to appeal to Caesar to save his own life. He appeals to Caesar. Well, they just let him go. He really didn't do anything wrong. They let him go, and he has this interlude, this period of freedom. And then shortly thereafter, he's imprisoned again, and he writes 2 Timothy, and he says, hey, I'm gonna die. Timothy, come to me quickly. I'm not getting out this time. Okay? So, basically what you have is Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, even Philippians, like I said, they were written during Paul's first imprisonment, the one that we see at the end of the book of Acts. Tychicus was with Paul during that time. We see him hook up with Paul as Paul is scurrying fast back to Jerusalem to preach on the streets during the Feast of Pentecost. He's with him. Paul gets thrown into prison. We see Tychicus with Paul also in Rome. Whether he traveled with him like Luke or hooked up with him once he got to Rome, we don't know. But Tychicus is with Paul throughout all of this imprisonment of Paul going from Jerusalem to Rome. And while Paul's in Rome, he writes these letters and he sends Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon with Tychicus and Onesimus to get these out to the churches. Well, Paul was later freed from prison for a time. During that time, he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. Okay, 1 Timothy and Titus. And then he's imprisoned again a second time, and he writes 2 Timothy. That's his last letter before he's martyred. Now, all of that helps us to see Tychicus in a little bit more detail. Well, why is that? Well, folks, and I'm going to show you this in a minute, Tychicus is the Swiss Army knife of Christian ministry. Do you guys have one of those multi-tools? I mean, you can get a multi-tool for like $2, you know? I mean, everybody's making them these days. Well, when I was a kid growing up, the original multi-tool was a Swiss Army knife. Now, I was in the Boy Scouts, okay, back in 1980, 81 or 82. I had a Swiss Army knife. It had a knife. It had a saw. It had a spoon. It had a fork. I mean, it was this big chunky thing, you know? It was huge, and it had everything on it, right? Love those things. They're fun. Impossible to get the peanut butter out of the, you know, where the little hinges and stuff, once the peanut butter gets in there, it's done. Okay, just leave it there. It's not coming out. But today, you can even, you know what you can get the Swiss Army knife. It has a USB jump drive in it. Have you seen those? Yeah, those are cool. It's got a little bit of USB jump drive in it. I'm like, well, that's kind of neat, you know. They got everything on it. You know, it's the original multi-tool, and just about everything you need for any job, it's there. Swiss Army knife. Love them. Fun little toys. But you know what? That's a really good description of Tychicus. Because you know what? During Paul's first imprisonment, we've already seen that Tychicus was entrusted with two epistles, Ephesians and Colossians. He was entrusted with the runaway slave Onesimus to be his buddy and get him back to his master and get that reconciled. He was the messenger Paul sent. Well, now watch this. Because after Paul's first imprisonment, he gets out. He gets out, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe a period of months, maybe a little longer, we don't know. But he gets out and he writes 1 Timothy and he writes Titus. Now go to Titus. You're in 2 Timothy. One to the right. Go to Titus. Chapter 3, verse 12. Paul gets out of his first Roman imprisonment, the one we see at the end of the book of Acts. He ends up in Nicopolis. Okay, that's in South Macedonia. 3:12. Titus 3:12. He says, "When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." So Paul's out. He's out of prison in Rome, and he's got to Nicopolis. It's in Macedonia. He's still preaching and teaching the Word of God. And he says, "Hey, Titus, I want you to come to me here in Nicopolis because I've determined to winter here, and I want you with me." Yeah, it's going to be one of those skull sessions. You know, we're going to sit down. We're going to plan out some ministry. Titus was just one of those hard workers, and Paul wanted him there with him to start planning out some other ministry activities. Well, let me ask you a question. What was Titus doing at the time? Because Paul says, look, I got to send you Artemas or I got to send you Tychicus so that you can come to me. Well, Titus was doing something. What was he doing? Look at Titus 1:5. It says in Titus 1:5, "For this cause, Titus, left I thee in Crete, the island of Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." You see, in this island of Crete, this large geographic region, apparently there were several local churches that did not have established leadership. And some things were kind of going haywire. You know how it goes in a church without decent leadership. You know, everybody's off doing their thing. And Paul says, "Titus, I am sending you to Crete. I left you in Crete so that you could, number one, set things in order, get things ordered up, fix it, and establish leaders in all of those churches." Leadership development, establishing pastors, elders in local congregations. This is what we would recognize today as the task, the ministry, the work of a regional missionary. Somebody that goes into a country and begins to plant churches, and in those several churches, train up local leaders so that he can later pull out and leave autonomous local churches that have solid direction and order. Titus was a missionary. Titus was a regional missionary working with several local churches at the same time, specifically in the area of leadership development. Now, if you look at 3:12 again, Titus 3:12, take that in context. 3:12 says, "When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." Paul's consideration of Tychicus as a replacement for Titus shows us that Tychicus was capable of being that missionary and of doing the work of establishing leadership in several local churches at the same time. Let me ask you this, just to kind of help you put it in context in your own mental games here that you play as you kind of put yourself in his shoes. Could you do that? If I took you down to Juarez, Mexico, and said, "I want you to replace missionary so-and-so that is working with 10 different churches, I want you to establish leadership in each one of those churches so that those churches can experience decent order in what they are doing." Could you do that? Do you know what to do? Tychicus did. Paul was confident in him. He says, "I'm either going to send Artemas or I'm going to send Tychicus, but I want you here with me. I'm going to send you a replacement." Okay? Now, it looks like Paul ended up sending Artemis and not Tychicus, because soon after, we see Tychicus mentioned again. Now, go over to 2 Timothy. Okay, that's one to the left. Okay, now remember, after Paul's brief period of freedom, when he's in Nicopolis, he says, Titus, come to me. For some reason, he is arrested again, placed in prison. Now he knows he is going to die. This is Paul's second imprisonment. 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He knows his time is short. Verse 9, Timothy, please do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He knows his time is short. He says, Timothy, I want you here with me in Rome. What does Paul need to pull Timothy out of his ministry and bring him to Rome? He needs a replacement, doesn't he? So verse 10, follow the train of thought. He says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Well, isn't that something? When Paul wants to pull Timothy out, Timothy is the senior pastor of the church in Ephesus. He says, I'm going to send you Tychicus. So it looks like he sent Artemis to Crete so Titus could meet him in Nicopolis. Tychicus was still with him when he was imprisoned the second time. He writes 2 Timothy. Who does he entrust with that letter? Tychicus. And not only does he trust Tychicus with that letter, he says, Tychicus is going to come to thee. When he gets there, I want you here. Tychicus is Timothy's replacement. Jump back to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy, the first epistle that he wrote to him. 1 Timothy 1. This was written, you know, just before. This was written during that interlude of freedom between the two imprisonments. Look at verse 3. 1 Timothy 1:3. He says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. He says, Timothy, I wanted you to stay at Ephesus. Why? He says, I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He left Timothy in Ephesus to be the senior pastor. There were other elders. There were other pastors. You can see that in chapter 5 if you want the verses. Verse 17, Timothy was placed there again to garner order, put things in order. He left him there to teach sound doctrine as a senior pastor over the other pastors and elders in that church. And so in 2 Timothy, when he pulls Timothy out, he says, Timothy, I want you to be with me in Rome because I'm about to die. I'm sending you Tychicus. Tychicus was not only capable of being a missionary like Titus on Crete, but he was also capable and qualified to be the pastor teacher of the church at Ephesus in Timothy's absence. Do you see that? Well, I go back to Ephesians 6. Let's go back to our text. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. Because I think now, just by comparing Scripture with Scripture, a very brief summary and overview of the life and times of Tychicus, I think we can see why Paul calls him a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Think about that. Tychicus was a beloved brother. Paul had a very special brotherly affection for Tychicus. Why? Well, folks, he was close to him. He was endeared to him. They had spent time together doing all sorts of different ministry and missions activities for years. That man was faithful to Paul. He stuck by his side. When Demas goes off back to the world, there's Tychicus waiting for the letter, 2 Timothy, so he can hightail it to Ephesus and get Timothy to Rome before they kill Paul. Tychicus was a beloved brother to Paul. He's also a faithful minister in the Lord. Boy, I'd say he was. Wouldn't you? I mean, wow. Many different aspects of the ministry. Faithful minister. Faithful to minister in missions. He was faithful to minister in the local church. He was faithful to minister as a messenger. He was everything. And even in Colossians 4:7, if you want to turn there, you can. We see that he's called a fellow servant. Well, this is Tychicus. He's my fellow servant in the Lord. You know what that means? Tychicus served the Lord in everything I did, in everything I do. He is my fellow servant. What Paul did, Tychicus did. He was right there with Paul, learning from Paul how to do the same thing as Paul, and then labored as a fellow servant to Paul. Well, you talk about a man valuable in the ministry? Folks, I mean, I don't do, you know, as a bivocational pastor, my responsibilities in this church are very limited. Could we find a replacement for me? Should I be taken off the scene? Then that's just a simple ministry. Well, how about a regional missionary? You're the guy I'm going to send to Juarez. You're the guy I'm going to need in Medellin, Colombia. You're the guy I need in San Jose, Costa Rica, because I need somebody down there to come up here, so I need to send you down there. Are you that guy? Well, we got a church that, hey, there's my buddy in Rochester, New York. I need him here for 3 months. I need you there to pastor his church for 3 months while he's here. Could you do that? That's what we're talking about. That's Tychicus. He's the guy. Tychicus, I need you to go to Crete. Okay. Paul had no reservations whatsoever. I got Artemis, I got Tychicus. Artemis, you're there because Tychicus, now I'm going to send you to Ephesus because I need you to be the pastor there while Timothy comes here. So you can hold together that leadership team and pastor that large church in Ephesus. Tychicus, ready, willing, qualified, able. Wow, folks, come on. That's his background. That's Tychicus, trained, experienced, capable, willing in just about all aspects of the Christian ministry. And I think he's the jack of all trades, right? Is anybody in here like that? Yeah, you plumbing? I can do that. Electrician? Oh, yeah, I can do that too. Clean the carpets? Yeah, I can do that. Put down new carpet? I can do that. Me? No, I can't do anything. I can't. Well, here's Tychicus. This guy's a Swiss Army knife. I mean, anything in the Christian ministry, he can do it. He's capable, he's qualified, he's there, he's done it with Paul, he knows how to do it, and he can do it. But folks, wait. See, all that is introduction. All that's our first point. All that gets us to this, Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. What is Paul charging this man with in Ephesians 6, 21 and 22? But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. You know what he is? He's a messenger boy. Or as Sam Miles, Mike Miles, his dad says, he's Paul's step and fetch it boy. Have you ever heard that term? The step and fetch it boy? You know, hey, go get that for me. Go get my hammer. Okay. Go get my coffee. Go need some donuts. Okay. I'm going to need a sandwich from Quick Trip this afternoon. That's you. Go on. Go get my sandwich. Step and fetch it, boy. Tychicus, I need you to go and tell him I'm doing okay. Really? That's it? No preaching? Nah. Just give him a letter. Mm-hmm. Just tell him you're all right? Yep. So that brings us to the second main point this morning that I want you to see about Tychicus. We've seen Tychicus in his background. I want you to see Tychicus in his task. What did Paul want him to do? He just wanted Tychicus to give a report to the Ephesians of all things. That's all it says. That you may know my affairs, he says, I sent you Tychicus. He shall make known to you all things. Now, obviously, you know, he's going to talk about the evangelism, the church planning, you know, edification, the street preaching. I mean, everything that's been going on in Paul's life and ministry. But he also says in verse 22, like we saw before, Paul knew that the Ephesian elders, they were worried about his personal state. They were concerned about him. So he sent Tychicus just to go comfort them and to tell them he was okay and doing well. That's it. At least during Paul's first imprisonment. I mean, you know, afterwards we see him, you know, taking over for Timothy. But look, Tychicus was a messenger boy. Now, how would you feel if that were you? Honestly. That I could do. Well, she says, that I could do. Yeah, I could do that. All the other stuff, I don't know. But what I want you to do is put yourself in Tychicus's shoes. Okay? Here you are. Now think about it. You are a fellow servant of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. I mean, wow. That'd be just something in itself, right? Okay, you've traveled with Paul. You've trained with Paul. You've labored in the ministry alongside Paul. You have Paul's utter and complete confidence because you are capable, you're qualified to be not only the senior pastor of a large church with multiple elders on a pastoral team, you're capable and willing to be a foreign missionary. You can work with multiple local churches in leadership development, establishing pastors in those congregations. You're the go-to guy. You're it. Something needs to be done. Man, you are the theological Swiss Army knife that can be pulled out for the Christian ministry. And your task is to be a messenger boy. Go tell them I'm doing okay. Now, folks, come on. How would you feel about that? This shows us one more very important aspect of Tychicus, one that we ought not overlook. It's humility. Humility. Tychicus was humble. You know, he wasn't too proud or too full of himself and his own importance to not be willing to do whatever needed to be done in the ministry. Yep, sure, Paul, you need me to go tell him you're doing okay? Glad to. All right, sure. That's fine. You know, as he is portrayed in the Bible, Tychicus was humble. Tychicus was meek. He was submissive. He was modest in his own estimation of his own importance. Now that, in and of itself, is too important to overlook. Why? Because a lot of times, folks, we get ourselves all puffed up because we think we know more than most, or because we think we can do more work of the ministry than other people. I mean, hey, look at me. Look at me. See, I not only have a bachelor's in business administration, folks, I have a master's degree in theology and biblical studies. You see, not only have I been an interim pastor 20 years ago, but I've been a foreign missionary. I've planted a church on foreign soil. And look at me, I'm the pastor. You see what we do? Well, what if something menial then needs to be done in the ministry? What do we usually do?
Well, that's not for me. That's for Dave.
Dave should do that, right?
I'm the pastor.
You know, I'm the leader of the evangelism ministry. Somebody needs to carry in the tracks from my car. I'm the leader, right? I mean, you see what I'm saying? How much of this puffed up junk do we get in our heads? But you never see that in Tychicus. You never see that in what the Bible portrays about this man. You never see Tychicus in competition for a position or a title or recognition. Never. You remember the discussion between the sons of thunder, you know, James and John and the other guys?
Hey, who's the best and who's the biggest in Jesus? Who's going to sit on his right hand,
right? That's us, isn't it?
Well, who's going to be the buddy of the pastor? Oh, who's going to be the first deacon? Who's going to be the, you know, oh, come on.
You never see that in Tychicus. You never see him get bitter and bent out of shape because he didn't get the position, title, or recognition that he deserved or maybe that he earned. How many times do we see that in Christianity?
Well, I helped out too and the pastor didn't say my name from the pulpit. Well, I was here first. He didn't say anything about my faithfulness.
You know, what you see in Tychicus, you know, you just see this man, he's capable, he's willing, he's a servant, he's just in the ministry, and he's ready to do whatever task needs to be done. You know, even if that means being Paul's step and fetch it boy. Yeah, Paul, you need me to take that letter? Sure, be glad to. You want me to tell them you're doing okay and comfort their hearts? Yeah. It wasn't beneath him. Man that was prepared for any and every aspect of Christian ministry. Sure, you want me to be a messenger boy, Paul? Glad to. So that brings me to my conclusion. Folks, the name Tychicus in Greek, it means fortuitous. Tychicus. It means fortuitous. Bringing good fortune. Bringing profit, basically. Blessing. And I think that name is very fitting for this man. Tychicus, well prepared over years of training and experience on Paul's missionary team. Tychicus, capable, qualified to do just about any ministry in the body of Christ. Most importantly, Tychicus, a willing disposition to do whatever needed to be done. No task, however insignificant, was beneath him. Would you not count a Christian like that as fortuitous? Would he not bring good fortune, profit, blessing to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you bet he would. You bet he would. So here's our practical application of Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. Where are those believers today who are willing to be like Tychicus? Think about it. I said as we started out our message that Tychicus is a model Christian soldier. He's a good example to follow. He's just a normal guy. He's not the big, grand Apostle Paul, which is a good example to follow too, but here you've got Tychicus. He mentioned a handful of times in Scripture, and we see very little written about him, but look at this man. Good example to follow. Are you diligent and disciplined in your preparation for the ministry? Tychicus was. He had to be, or else he never would have gotten to where he was. Diligent, disciplined in preparation. Do you have the initiative to prepare yourself for ministry, in the Scripture, and ministry skills, for whatever ministry task that might arise? Tychicus did. Most importantly and most difficult, do you have the level of humility that it takes to do whatever task might be given you to do, regardless of your ability to do more? Are you willing to clean the bathrooms? Are you willing to help out? Are you willing to do something that's really not your forte? Well, that's not my gift. I know. Mine neither, you know? Tychicus was humble. He had a level of humility that made him fortuitous. Just good fortune to have in the ministry. But you know, sadly, most Christians will never rise to the level of Tychicus. Why? Well, the price is too high. Costs too much. Costs you time and effort. Well, that preparation, it takes time. It takes a lot of effort. It'll cost you your pride. It'll cost you your reputation. You're going to have to do menial tasks that you feel are beneath you. Sometimes it costs your career. And for some, it even costs them their families. Because Christ brings the sword and will separate loved ones when one loved one wants to follow Christ and the other does not. But I think what trips up most of us is that it will definitely, without a doubt, cost us our comfort. And that's the idol of our American society. Comfort. So many today, they're just not willing to sacrifice that. They're not willing to sacrifice their comfort. They're not willing to sacrifice their comfortable lifestyle on the altar of the Great Commission. And so I say, let's be different. Let's be like Tychicus. Fortuitous, bringing good fortune, blessing to the body of Christ through ministry and through effort to prepare for that ministry, and more than anything, through a Christ-like attitude of humility and humbleness to do any task, however menial or dirty. That's Tychicus. And Paul says, hey, I'm going to send Tychicus with the letter, and I want him to tell you that I'm doing okay. And Tychicus says to Paul, glad to do it. Glad to do it. Let's be like him. Father, we thank you again for the time we've had together. We thank you so much.